Rat Pack, where you at?
Hey, what's going on? It's Thursday, November 14th. This is The Rant. I'm Jeff. And apparently I have multiple impersonators on Blue Sky already. Not even 24 hours into this thing. I don't know what impersonators exist elsewhere on social media, but I was like, oh yeah, I'll try it out. Everybody seems to be going to Blue Sky. I'm not like getting rid of Twitter or anything, but I go over there and boom, impersonators. Like already. What the hell? All right. So that's an update on my world. Let's get into a quick one for you today. I'm sure you can see by the podcast length, not a lot to talk about, but there are a few things from around the NFL. If you're curious on the Anthony Richardson stuff, I actually already covered that. I didn't cover it on the rant, but I did cover it on the FTN Fantasy Football podcast. That was yesterday's episode. You can still go back. Nothing really changes from what I had to say yesterday about Anthony Richardson being back in as the starter. So make sure you're subscribing to that if you want a Wednesday podcast from yours truly. Due to some obligations over there, I do have to do that one day a week. Don't mind it. I mean, hey, it's the same exact show as this one, just with different music. Also, before I go any further, ftnfantasy.com, go check it out. The site is awesome. NBA's rocking right now too, by the way. I know like season-long NBA, not really that fun. I never had fun playing season-long NBA. I have played it. I would say it's slightly better than season-long baseball, but I don't really like either of them. No offense to you if you like them. But NBA betting, awesome. Baseball betting's not bad either. NBA DFS, I like playing full slate, nights where there's full slates. So I actually don't mind NBA DFS. I'm not grinding away, but I'm going to toss some lineups in occasionally. And of course, we have you covered there at FTNFantasy.com. Fantasy baseball season, by the way, coming back around. Like our team is already planning our fantasy draft guides. So if season-long fantasy baseball is your thing, we have the team, man. Our team is so good. Our subscribers crushed last year. So there's so much. That's the point. It's not just fantasy football stuff. It's everything sports related. Betting, DFS, fantasy, you know, best ball, dynasty, like you name it. Everything's there. FTNFantasy.com. Promo code RATPACK for 10% off. All right. So let's get into some of the news. I think one of the biggest stories right now is the Tyreek Hill story. So he didn't practice yesterday. But today, Wes Welker talked about the injury because remember, it's a wrist injury. It's a ligament in there. It is not optimal to have him injured or let's say hurt, probably the better way because he played through it. But a lot of these guys are hurt at this point in the season. I mean, it's mid-November. You know, we're not in September anymore. So Wes Welker, who, if you weren't aware, is the wide receivers coach, told reporters that he doesn't think it's impacting Hill's performance. Now, I don't know about that. He said last week was actually the Rams' coverage more so than anything, which could very well be. I mean, they could be doubling him or, you know, bracketing him, that sort of thing, and limiting especially explosives from him. If you can limit explosives from Tyreek Hill, that's part of the battle. That's a big part of the battle right there in terms of trying to win a game. Now, obviously, the Rams weren't able to win that game, but I at least get that part. So let's see what happens this week. I'm not adjusting anything on Tyreek Hill. In fact, I think, if anything, he might be undervalued a little this week. Season long, there's no reason to not use him. There's no reason at all to not use him. In betting, I think he's a little undervalued. In DFS, could go under-rostered as a result. And honestly, you know, the wrist injury isn't optimal, but he's still just as fast. You know, just get the football in his hands and good things are going to happen. Okay, moving on. Mike McCarthy talks a little bit about Rico Dowdle, and he said he is the lead back. He needs to touch the ball. Okay, well, duh. I mean, I can't see a scenario where Ezekiel Elliott would be ahead of him in the pecking order, unless Mike McCarthy truly is trying to lose his job, which if he is, he's doing a great job of it. he's crushing that part of things. But the larger scenario here is this offense is going to struggle to move the football. and it's going to struggle if it's Cooper Rush. It's going to struggle if it's, Trey Lance. Who the heck else do they have? Do they have anybody on their practice squad? Because whoever that is, the offense is going to struggle to move the football as well. Now I'm actually genuinely curious if they have a quarterback on their practice squad. I don't memorize all the practice squad guys, that's for sure. They do. Oh, Will Grier. There you go. Will Grier. The offense would struggle if Will Grier was in there. I don't think it's going to be always as bad as how they looked against the Philadelphia Eagles, but it's not going to be good. So that's the issue that we're going to face here. No, I wouldn't panic if I have CeeDee Lamb. You know, first and foremost, not panicking there. Is he an elite level wide receiver one at this point? No, of course not. But is he a very startable, at least front end wide receiver two? Yes. Like, let's not forget he had 10 targets last week. And let's not forget he was one sun in the eyes away from catching a touchdown. And I think if he caught that touchdown, pretty much no fantasy managers would have too much of a concern. Because then it would have been seven catches. Now, the yardage total wouldn't have been great, but seven catches plus the touchdown. In PPR, you're already at 13. So it would have been, 16 points, something like that. Off the top of my head. I don't have the stats in front of me right now. That would have been fine. So I think he's going to be okay. As far as Dowdle, I really only think we're looking at flex value. And that's pretty much it. Like, yeah, maybe there are going to be weeks where Jake Ferguson's okay, but I just don't think there's going to be enough passing volume because, again, the team is going to struggle to sustain drives. So that's the biggest issue we're facing there. Let me go back to the Colts for a minute. So Michael Pittman is practicing again. How do we handle all this? Because obviously with Richardson out there, like Richardson he's doing things that are very, well, very bad if you want to put them in historic context. I tossed out the name he's in the conversation with in terms of his completion rate. That's Akili Smith. That was in 2000. What was it? I think Akili Smith was 44.2 and Richardson's at 44.4. Really bad. Really bad. The other name he's in a conversation with, and this is a weird one, is Tim Tebow. So Tim Tebow in 2011 averaged 12.8 air yards per attempt. And air yards can be a good thing, but not always. So when I talk about air yards, really, for me, I use air yards to indicate upside. And I guess, yes, there is upside with Anthony Richardson. But there's a point where the air yards get excessive and become dangerous. Like, I love to see 8+. Heck, 9+ is fine with me. When you get up over 10, things start to get a little hairy. Richardson is at 12.8. That is way too much. And what happens in today's NFL, especially now, because I just mentioned, like, you know, you have like sort of these like cloud and bracket coverage schemes where you don't just have a single high safety in today's NFL. When you're throwing the ball downfield, that ball is probably going to get picked off or defended or, you know, you're not going to be accurate. There's a number of problems here. Like, the further you throw the ball in the air, the less accurate you're going to be anyway, much less, you know, danger zone that you're putting the ball into, putting the ball into harm's way. So what's fascinating here is go back to Tim Tebow. I don't think a lot of people realize that Tebow was throwing the ball heavily downfield because the common narrative among a lot of people is that younger quarterbacks or bad quarterbacks are going to be check down artists. The reality is often the exact opposite. And when we look to air yards, a lot of the highest air yards guys each year are the guys who are young, the guys who are inexperienced, because you can't get away with that in this level. You could get away with it potentially at the college level. Not only are you facing a lower level of competition, like, granted, yeah, you're facing Division I guys, FBS guys, SEC guys, but not everybody on your opposing team is an NFL caliber player. But guess what? In the NFL, they are. And then on top of that, I saw this really fascinating breakdown from Max Brown on social media. If you don't remember him, he was a quarterback. He was at USC, and then he transferred out of there. Anyway, regardless, highly touted, but then ended up, you know, flaming out, unfortunately, at the college level. And I think he had a tryout or two at the pro level, but didn't catch on. Anyway, he's doing really great analysis. And he said the install at the college level is totally different than the pro level, because at the college level, you are capped in terms of how many hours you can spend. I believe it's 20 hours a week in terms of the coaching staff, how much time they can spend with the players. At the pro level, there's no cap. You know, every day, all day, every day, set up a cot in your office and sleep there, that sort of thing. So when you install a defense at the college level, it's pretty base level. Like, you're running a lot of similar coverage, play in and play out, that sort of thing. As opposed to at the pro level, where you're installing defenses and offenses for really three main phases. And then you could even be going beyond that. But the three main phases are, you know, early down, passing down, and red area, right? And that's what you're installing for. So you're not facing anywhere near as complex coverage schemes and varying coverage schemes at the college level that you are at the pro level. So you can get away with things. You cannot get away with those things here. And Richardson has shown it. So anyway, let me get back over to Pittman. Do you use him? Well, that's up to you. Ultimately, I can tell you where I have him. And then maybe you have receivers who are better than him, you know, ranked higher than him. But I'm going to likely have him in flex territory. When I go to update projections and rankings for tonight, I will have to put him back in there because we weren't sure if he was going to play this week. But the fact that he's practicing again does seem like we're angling towards that. I would rather have Josh Downs, but I don't love Josh Downs. He's only a wide receiver three. Now, one thing I'm going to warn people against, though, is the I'm never going to draft him again mentality with Michael Pittman Jr. Because I see that every single year when a player doesn't live up to expectations. And it's not like we were over the top on Michael Pittman. I had him in wide receiver two territory, though he was a top 20 guy. So you have a certain set of expectations for a guy like that. And when they don't reach those expectations, that's the age-old reaction. Like, I'm never going to draft him again. And the reality is, like, that's a results-based approach. It's not a process-based approach. The process would suggest next year, we evaluate Michael Pittman for what he is. Not for what he was, but what he is. And that could look different next year. Maybe Anthony Richardson actually improves, takes a step forward. Maybe they move on from him and then they're kind of screwed at quarterback anyway. I don't know what that's going to be. But I can tell you this. The idea of never going to draft him again doesn't mesh with a good evaluation of a player. And I actually like that people have that mindset. I want people to have that mindset in my home leagues because it means it's going to create values for me. Like, I don't know where we're going to value Michael Pittman. I'm still, I'd say, what am I, 8 weeks away, 7 weeks away from doing the first set of rankings for next year, which is crazy to think that I'm that close, but I don't know where Pittman's going to come in yet. I don't know how he's going to finish the season out, but I can tell you this, I'm going to evaluate him. I'm going to rank him accordingly. And then if he's there in that range, and that's a range where I look at wide receivers, then I would consider drafting him. I'm not going to do the never going to draft him again thing. That only really hurts the fantasy manager. It doesn't hurt anything else. Like, it gives advantage to their opponents. It doesn't hurt the player. Michael Pittman doesn't give a crap if we don't draft him. You know, it just hurts the player themselves. And I find that a lot of times people do that to themselves. Don't shoot yourself in the foot. That's for sure. Let me just run through a couple other things here on the injury front. So Nico Collins is practicing. They do not play until Monday. So I don't know if this goes down as a limited or not. This is actually just coming from the beat writers. If it goes down as a full, we're, you know, game on. If it's limited, I don't want to say that he can't play, but it wouldn't be the best start to the week. So we'll have to keep an eye on him. Davante Adams has yet to practice this week. So, well, as of right now, I don't know if it's going to go down as a DNP. We're just saying reporters haven't seen him at the open session of practice for reporters. So what's going on with him? Well, it's an illness and a wrist injury. So NFL injury reports, you can actually report multiple injuries, but usually you put them in order. And the first one listed is illness. So he could just be sick. I mean, it's going around. I had it last week. You heard it on the podcast. You heard it on the radio show. I had it last week and I got over it. And it was honestly, I had one rough day. Like, I had one day, this is so, pull the curtain back for you. I don't miss days of work during the NFL season because I can't. You know, it's just I can't do it. So I could have a 103 fever. I could be, you know, puking and whatever. I'll still do the darn radio show. Like, I'll still do these podcasts. So anyway, this was not like that, but my nose wouldn't stop running. And I didn't want to like do the sniffle thing because that's not good radio. So I'm here like dabbing during the segments with a tissue so that it doesn't sound disgusting for the listener. See, this is what I do. But anyway, the point of this disgusting story, it was probably one bad day. Like, the buildup wasn't that bad. I knew I was going to get sick. You know how you feel it coming. And I was popping coldies and things like that. Then it hit the next day, and that day was not fun. And then, the day after, I was good again. I mean, it wasn't great. I was a little cloudy, but I was good again. So maybe he's going through something like that, hopefully. But we'll keep an eye on him. Obviously, if he doesn't play, then Garrett Wilson is going to get a ton of targets. He's already the league leader in targets. This dude has 100 targets. That's crazy. So we'll keep an eye on Davante Adams, but that's the latest for him. Let me roll through a few others quickly here. So DK Metcalf looks like he's going to be good to go, which is great. We don't know yet if Amari Cooper is going to be good to go, but he was practicing yesterday. We'll see what the practice report is for today. He's got a wrist issue. The good news is he should be much more acclimated to the offense than the last time we saw him. Isaiah Pacheco, according to Andy Reid, unlikely to play this week. Okay, one more week of Kareem Hunt. You still have time to get rid of Kareem Hunt. You still do. Aaron Jones limited, so he should be good to go. And I'm glad because I wouldn't want anybody to have to use Cam Akers. Tank Bigsby. So I don't know what happened here, and I'm trying to figure out what happened, why so many people wanted to drop him, because, you know, maybe it's they're looking at the recent performances statistically and then reaching conclusions there. Because obviously, like, last week he had 2 carries for 4 yards, but he exited the game with an ankle issue. The week before that, he had 8 for 22, which is really bad as well, but it was a game where Jacksonville got destroyed by the Eagles. I was at the game. Like, the score makes it look a lot closer than what it was, 28-23. It was a complete blowout. And then the Eagles kind of let him back in the second half, but it was a lot of passing to get him back into the game. The game before that, he goes 18 for 78. Now, that is not a good fantasy day. It's a Derek Dilemma type performance, but it's a good performance. And then the game before that was the London game when he goes 26 for 118 and 2. So if I evaluate over the span of a month, I have a guy who got hurt, a guy who played in a game that his team got blown out in, and then 2 other pretty good performances. So I don't understand why people are trying to drop this dude. Now, granted, he went DNP yesterday, but we don't know what the whole week of practice reports is going to say. He could end up being fine. We'll see. He could end up missing this week, and then we get ETN, but it's still not a situation where I'd be willing to drop him. I did find that pretty surprising. Speaking of the Jags, Trevor Lawrence isn't going to play this week. They have bye next week, so we'll see what ends up happening there, but it'll be another week of Mac Jones. It's being called a pretty severe AC joint sprain, but it is in his non-throwing shoulder. I think that's why they're at least holding out some hope. This is just me speculating, but at least holding out some hope that he could play through the injury. Obviously, it is a downgrade there with Mac Jones. Dalton Kincaid, I have gotten some questions about him. We have to wait for practice reports, really. He went DNP on Wednesday, but that doesn't really mean anything. If he goes back-to-back DNPs, obviously it doesn't look good, but really it's the Friday report that matters. And as a friendly reminder to people, as soon as I get all that information, I update things on Friday, so that way you're heading into the weekend with some fresh intel. Tomorrow on the podcast, I will break down, no snot stories for you tomorrow. I'll break down the remaining games on the slate. Very pivotal week here as we head into this final 4-week stretch run of the fantasy football regular season. So we'll break down all the intel for you that I have, and we'll roll from there. In the meantime, FTNFantasy.com, like I said, more than just fantasy football. There's so much at the site. It's so awesome. Great to be a part of this thing. At Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Instagram, and apparently at Jeff Ratcliffe on Blue Sky. So there's that too. I've got impersonators. All right, I'll catch you on the flip. I'm Jeff, and I'm out.